In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This evening, we look at our Blessed Mother under the title Yanua Cheli, Gate of Heaven. There are all sorts of many gates and doors in sacred scripture. Wooden, bronze, gold-covered, doors made of precious stones even. Locked doors, open doors, gates that have been torn from their hinges and newly built, broken and restored. Doors that have kept out the bad and doors that locked them up. And of course, the word door and gate are often used interchangeably. And scripture begins with the closing of one gateway and ends with the opening of another. After the fall in Genesis 3, when the Lord God drove the man from the Garden of Eden, at the east of the garden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. In the apocalypse, however, the lock is sprung and the curse lifted. I looked, and lo, in heaven, an open door. Between that first slamming shut and the final throwing open again swings the epic narrative of how the key was recovered that undid man's exclusion from the divine presence. The Lord Jesus Christ is that key, and the Blessed Virgin Mary, the gate. Saint Irenaeus of Lyon wrote, "What Eve bound by her disbelief, Mary loosed by her faith." The prophet Ezekiel foresaw in a vision a gate. And he wrote, "He brought me back to the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looked towards the east, and it was shut. And the Lord said to me, 'This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall pass through it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, and it shall be shut. For the prince himself shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter in by the way of the porch of the gate, and shall go out by the same way.'" What was the holy gate through which the Lord entered and which must remain closed? Who else but Mary Immaculate, who remained ever virgin after giving birth to our Lord? This inference is drawn from many of the church fathers. Saint Gregory of Nyssa observed, "O marvelous event! The virgin becomes a mother and remains a virgin. Observe this new ordering of nature. All other women, in order to remain virgins, do not become mothers. When a woman becomes a mother, she no longer has her virginity. Here, instead, the two terms are applied to the same person, for it is the same woman who is presented as mother and as virgin. For just as her virginity posed no obstacle to her giving birth, neither did her childbearing destroy her virginity. Indeed, it was fitting that the Redeemer, having entered human life to make us all incorruptible, should himself originate from an incorruptible birth." St. Gregory continues, "The great Moses knew about this mystery by means of the light in which God appeared to him, when he saw the bush burning without being consumed. As on the mountain the bush burned but was not consumed, so the virgin gave birth to the light and was not corrupted. Do not find this comparison embarrassing, for it prefigures the God-bearing body of the virgin." We know, too, that gates are entrance points. Psalm 23, verse 7 in the Douay Rheims Bible reads, "Lift up your gates, O ye princes, and be ye lifted up, O eternal gates, and the King of glory shall enter in." And Isaiah 26:2, "Open ye the gates, and let the just nation that keepeth the truth, enter in. A gate is a way in or a way out. Even ancient mythology bears stories of other worlds or realms entered in through gates. In modern times, a wardrobe was the gateway into C.S. Lewis's world of Narnia, and it was the means of return. But gateways were not only passageways in the ancient walled cities. They served other roles in these societies. According to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, gateways were seats of justice, marketplaces, public squares from which prophets spoke, and vantage points from which the king appeared to the public. We see this market and legal function of the gate in Genesis 23. When his wife Sarah had died, Abraham bought the land for her burial while he was at the city gate of Hebron. Scripture reads, it was assured to Abraham for a possession in the sight of the children of Heth and of all that went in at the gate of his city. The gate of a city was also a place where the ideals of justice and mercy are to be carried out. And this comes to the fore in the prophet Amos 5:12-15. Because I know your manifold crimes and your grievous sins, enemies of the just, taking bribes and oppressing the poor at the gate. Hate evil and love good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be the Lord, the God of hosts, may have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Some other images of the city gate are in the second book of Samuel, 19:1, or in the Dewey Rames edition, 2 Kings, 1833. When his son Absalom was no more, cut down in battle, King David lamented bitterly and wept and sought consolation in a room above the city gate. The king, therefore, being much moved, went up to the high chamber over the gate, and there he wept. And as he went, he spoke in this manner, "My son Absalom, Absalom, my son, would to God that I might die for thee, Absalom, my son." A few verses later, David is advised to make a public appearance, lest Israel's army lose heart and desert him. It reads, "Then the king arose and sat at the gate, and it was told to all the people that the king is now in the gate, and all the people came before the king." So we see the gate has such importance and significance, but it does not take away from the dignity and honor of the king. It was the place the king met his people. In the Gospel of Luke, a widow in the city of Nain, who was lamenting the loss of her only son, had taken her place in the funeral procession. It was at the gate of the village of Nain that they came upon another procession, at whose head was Jesus Christ, who was entering the city and who then restored her son to life. On the one side of the gate, the poor, weeping, banished children of Eve. On the other side, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. A gate was the way for the light of the world, and the gate was present in the full gamut of human drama. Our Blessed Lady, our most beautiful mother, the Yanua Cheli, the gate of heaven, enfolds us in her mantle in all our circumstances. And we fly unto her, and we, the poor banished children of Eve, cry unto her, as David did at the city gates, who brought forth to us the blessed fruit of her womb, Jesus. And in the end, the gate is described as beautiful. Isaiah foretells, "O poor little one, tossed with tempest, without all comfort, behold, I will lay thy stones in order, and will lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy bulwarks of jasper, and thy gates of graven stones, and all thy borders of desirable precious stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And in the Apocalypse, the openness of heaven is so complete that there are 12 gates. And the gates were made of pearl, and every several gate was of one several pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And the gates shall never shut by day, and there shall be no night there. And so the story of salvation ends as it began, within the gate of the city of God, with no barriers between God and his creature. By the birth of God made man, man comes back to God in the same moment as he comes to us. The gate of heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary, makes it so by her fiat, when she gave all humanity back to God in the very act of giving God a humanity. Blessed Virgin Mary, gate of heaven, pray for us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, amen.